Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Radio 90 Time, the game, 10 o'clock hour on a Sunday morning. Phone lines open. The way this works on this show, we got 2.5 hours, you and I, to talk about this. You call in, we have a conversation. If you want to do a drive-by and say, hey, what do you think of this? I'll hang up and listen. You can. Not really what I'm after here. I'm after conversation. We can disagree, by the way. That's fine. I disagree with plenty of people out there. We can just have, I disagree with friends of mine. I mean, it's okay. We just have conversation. Just don't be disagreeable. That's all. I mean, if we see things from a different standpoint, that's fine. I'll give you a number of ways that I disagree with people. And, you know, one of them, of course, has to do with whether or not Arthur Blank should sell the team. But first off, well, let's set aside the fact that he's not going to sell the team. Okay, so we just stop that. Okay, he's not, AMB is not selling the team. They're going to own the Falcons. They own the Falcons, the stadium, United, now the NWSL team, the Drive, PGA Superstore, a bunch of real estate, not including Flowery Branch and the training center in Marietta, and there's going to be more real estate coming. I mean, it's a conglomerate. I mean, it's a huge thing here. They own ATL Live, which is all the concerts and the backyard and everything. I mean, come on. They're not selling the team. It's the cornerstone of a corporation. So it's not going to be sold, right? Just stop with that. Please, that's not going to happen, okay? The other part of this is you get people who say, Arthur Blank is a terrible owner. I don't think he's the worst. No, I take that back. Arthur Blank is the worst owner. I saw this yesterday. Arthur Blank is the worst owner in NFL history. Oh, my God. Really? Are you serious? Come on. Wow. Okay, sure. I mean, to make that kind of a bold statement, that's not just us disagreeing. I mean, it's just flat out wrong, obviously, on 100 levels. I mean, to make a statement like that and put it out there in the internet and make a declaration that he's the worst owner in the history of the NFL. Oh, I understand, look, that you're angry about what's gone on with the Falcons or maybe angry about what's gone on with United, though. Obviously, you know, United's made some serious changes here, and we'll see what Tata 2.0 can do. But to not understand what makes a good owner and a bad owner, I mean, or the other one is Arthur Blank doesn't want to win. Oh, stop it. Of course he wants to win. Yeah, you want to win. If you, all owners want to win. I know that in the NFL, it may not be true in other sports, but in the NFL, all owners want to win. Of course they all want to win. Because, well, no, they want to make money. No, that's how you make money. Don't be a moron. You make money by winning. Because when you win, the value of your franchise goes up. The Dallas Cowboys haven't won squat in 30 years. As a matter of fact, the Dallas Cowboys own the longest streak of not appearing in the NFC title game of any team in the NFC. Since the Cowboys last went to the NFC championship game, every other team in the NFC has been to the conference championship game. Every other team in the NFC has been to the conference title game since the Cowboys went last. So the Cowboys have the longest skid of not appearing in the NFC. They're still the most valuable sports franchise in the world. Why? Because prior to that, prior to 1994, they won. And they won and won and won and won and won and won and won. And they won. That's why. It's about winning. Who are the most valuable sports franchises in the world? Manchester United. What do they do? Win. New York Yankees. What do they do? Win. Dallas Cowboys, what do they used to win? You win, your franchise. Okay, so of course you want to win. Plus, you want to go into that owner's meeting, sporting that big old honking ring, and walk in and go, hey, you know, you're like walking in like the meme of Vince McMahon from the WWE. You know, you're strutting into there, you know, hey, you know, with your chest out. You know what I mean? You want to walk into that owner's meeting going, I'm the man, I'm the man. Look at this. I got you. They all want to win. He doesn't want to win. Stop with that, okay? Now, you can be, the man is a brilliant businessman. I have nothing on him. I'm not in his league. I belittle him. He's a loyal guy. That's all I can tell you. He's more patient and loyal, even at his age, than I would be. I mean, I'm just not. I'm like, hey, listen, you got to do the job. If you don't do the job, you're fired. And he's like, you know, I'm going to give you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen with me. I'll give you a second chance, but you're never getting a third. And if in the course of the second chance, you're blowing it, which is what I was saying after the Miami game this year. Yeah, okay, we're done. You're not even getting a full second chance. I gave you the second chance, and that's it. We're done. 404-726-0929. Again, you're always welcome to talk about the Hawks with Trae Young returning. You're welcome to talk about the Braves. Certainly college football with the playoffs coming up this week. Get us a state place in a bowl on Friday morning, actually. So if you want to jump in on that, you're welcome to. But I want to talk about false positives, and are you afraid the Falcons won't make any moves in this offseason? And we will start the year next year because of some crummy, ridiculous end of the season. You know, everybody's like, well, we want to lose because we want to get better draft position in the second round. Do you really want to lose? Maybe just so that they are forced to go, okay, you know, we have to actually make some moves, because if they were to win out and suddenly win these games and beat the Swampers again and beat the Rams, beat the Cardinals, then suddenly you would go, well, you know, I mean, we finished strong. Maybe we can run it back again. Let's go to Brian. He's on with John. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. A couple things, Falcons and then Hawks real quick. For me, with the Falcons, it's a dysfunctional franchise. It's not stable. They need stability badly in the front office. Personally, at the end of the year, they would have done it by now, but I can't have Raheem back as my head coach next year. I can't have a guy that's kissing guys at halftime during a Thursday night game. Do you think that Sean Payton would do something like that? Mug to the camera after a win to make you 5-9 after you've already been kicked out of the playoffs. I can't have him back as my head coach. The general manager, I'm on the fence with him. He's had a good draft this year. But, I mean, who is he? We never see him. He never talks. We never hear anything. So, I mean, I would probably get rid of the GM too and try to find someone that's going to bring stability to the franchise. Now, who that is, I have no idea. And the sad thing is I can't trust the ownership and their group to hire the right person for that stability. So that's kind of why this franchise is kind of lost in the woods for me.
I think it does. Everything flows uphill, right? And so, yes, I mean, there's no question. I think, Brian, that, you know, how much do you trust that if they do make a change from Terry Fontenot and from Raheem Morris, that they're going to get it right? I can't answer that question for you. I mean, but we all got to just cross our fingers and hope, because I know this much. People who are like, for like John Gruden, I'm like, I'm chuckling at that one. That's not happening. Okay. That's not going to happen. Anyway,
yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. I mean, I think he's got a lawsuit going on with the NFL still, but yeah. Someone who I thought of, it's not a real flashy hire, but maybe a Mike McCarthy, someone like that, that can just bring some sort of stability to the franchise, because they've got about a 2 or 3 year window here where their star wide receiver are going to leave town, yeah, if they continue to lose.
My guy is Todd Monken. I think he's done really great work with Lamar Jackson, and I'd like to see what he could do. Because one of my big problems, you know, you heard Joe talk about it, people talking about scheming, about putting under center and things of that nature, is that Michael Penix has been afraid to throw over the middle, and we saw how effective Kyle Pitts was suddenly going over the middle, where he's getting mismatches and things of that nature. So we have to work with, there's no question that we have to coach up Michael Penix better than he's been coached up. And I think that Monken could probably be able to do that, because we've seen him, you know, not only do it at Georgia, but do it at a high level in the NFL. So I think he's my guy. But we'll see. Again, Brian, that's you know, kind of where we're at right now. I just don't want my question to you is, are you afraid of the false positive at the end of the year where they say, let's run this back?
Absolutely. I'm worried to death that what we saw Thursday night is going to be what we're going to see week one with Cousins under center and the OC and the head coach, all three there. I mean, I'm worried about that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I am concerned that there is some, not laziness, but just some instability in the front office where they're just going to try to run it back for another year. John, can I make one thing real quick about the Hawks?
Sure.
For me, I would stay very patient with the Hawks right now. Everyone's looking at these trades for Giannis or whomever. I mean, you need to have Trae Young come back, play it all the way out to the trade deadline, and then you got to make a deal at that time. Because I think, I don't know what you think, I think Trae is going to opt out of his deal He's got a player option coming up. I think he's going to opt out. And if that's something that you see the writing on the wall for that, then you got Porzingis at $30 million, expiring contract, and Trey leaving. That's over $70 million right there. And Porzingis is just really starting to piss me off. I think it's really starting to drive the city of Atlanta crazy, too, with this illness he's had. But I think the Hawks need to stay patient. I agree with you. They're a 44-45-win team. But let Trey come back, see how it works with Jalen Johnson and him, and then they're going to have to make a decision at that point, because that pick that's going to be in a, probably a top 3-4 pick, if they hit that right, which GM I do trust, I think the Hawks could be a team that would be probably the most successful team in the city moving forward for the next 5-7 years.
Yeah, they may be. I appreciate it, Brian. 404-726-0929. You see we have conversations on this show, so if you're holding on, Philip, John, and Mark, just be patient. I promise you, if you're holding on, you will make it on the air. Let's grab Coleman before the break here. Coleman, welcome to the show. Oh, no, we got to go to the break?
How's it going, John?
Hey, Coleman.
Yes, sir. I think we should just we need another cornerback really bad. You get somebody over there on the other side, you know, they already don't throw the ball because I like it. You know,
wait, stop for me for a second. We need another quarterback. We have two. What? Do you, all right, Coleman. You
no corner, you, corner.
Cornerback. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
corner. Yeah, yeah. We need another ball from the other side of AJ. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, let me just stop you right here. I totally agree.
Mike Hughes and all. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree. Kobe Bryant. You know, he had the big hit on Evans, but he kind of got dusted a little bit. Yes, they do need another corner. They need interior defensive line. We can agree on that too, right? Because Onyemata is probably not going to be back. So they need probably two guys in the interior defensive line, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They also probably need at least one, or if not maybe two, interior offensive linemen, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And they need another wide receiver, a big-time wide receiver, correct?
Yes, they do. Well,
all right. So, yeah, hang on. I got a question for you, Coleman. Just follow me, because I agree with you, but I want to keep this on topic. This is the false positive. We just went down half a dozen players and more because the depth is a concern here. How can you afford to keep Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins at the amount of money that you're going to keep them? And I think they're going to tag Pitts, but Cousins is going to cost you $57.5 million. How can you afford to do that and run this back if you need all those other things?
Well, I think if you change up the front office a little bit, to put some nameplates with some, switch them out with some other names, I think we should be fine, because, like, Penix is injury prone to me. I don't know if that's it. I'll just keep Kirk Cobain. I like Kirk Cousins. He's nice to me, so I don't. I mean, going in next year with the same front office.
$57.5 million?
I don't know. I mean, when is Penix coming back? Do we even know?
We don't know. I mean, no, that's a legitimate question. I think this is why we're having the conversation, because are you willing to pay him? And this is why we're having the conversation. I'm not saying no. Are you confident that if you kept Kirk Cousins at $57.5 million, are you confident that he would be this Kirk Cousins? Are we getting a false positive? Would you rather use that money?
No. I think he'll play, and it'll be fine. I mean, I don't know. We might have.
If you bring him back and you tag Pitts, all those other things you're talking about, they ain't happening.
Well, look what he's doing.
Coleman, you came on here and say we need another corner. You're not getting another corner.
Corner, yeah.
You're not getting another corner if you bring those guys back. You have no money.
Yeah, but we can make a trade or something.
No, that's not the way it works. Trade for what? Okay. You can't trade for nothing, Coleman. There's going to be nobody in the trade market that has any value above what you have. That's not the way this works.
Okay. All right, well, then we'll have a 9-8 record then. I don't know.
I understand. I mean, I'd be great. Yeah, seven, we can trade for an all-pro cornerback. No, it's not going to happen.
I don't know.
You're right on track, Coleman. Would you rather have the sixth position? So my question is the false positive. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts, or would you rather have those other six positions?
I'd rather keep, I want Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts.
All right, there you go. Yeah. So we're not getting another corner. That goes back to the original point you made. You're not getting a corner better than what you got.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you're just living with it. All right, thanks, Coleman. Do appreciate 404-726-0929. No, I appreciate what Coleman is saying. I love how Coleman's optimistic of Coleman. So we can have Kirk Cousins. We have Kyle Pitts. We can go out and get the best cornerback that's in the – we can get the best interior defensive line in the – we'll just trade for him. Okay, sure. I love that. That would be great. Coleman, it's a choice. Do you want to fill those other slots or do you want these two guys? By the way, I think they're tagging Pitts. I think that's a foregone conclusion. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, I owe an apology. Coleman, I owe you an apology here. I made a promise to myself the first time that I was sentenced to have to go to live and work in New York City. Because I served two tours of duty there. Both brief, but I was finally paroled from both. Because that's how I feel about New York, okay? You don't move there, you're forced to go there. You're sent, well, though I chose to go there. Why? I don't. The second time, you would have thought I would have learned the first. Is that I said, when I was listening to the fan up there in New York, I said, I'm never going to be Chris Russo. I Mad Dog thing does not work for me. Angry Dude does not work for me. I'm never going to turn into Fat Frank Fleming, okay? that loser. I'm never going to do. And so I'm not mad at you, Coleman. I'm just frustrated with the Falcons, and sometimes it comes out of my voice, all right? I'm not mad at you at all, okay? I'm frustrated by this team. I don't understand the thing. And now I'm concerned that we're going to get a false positive. Everybody's going to start rallying around. You know, we had national people who were posting, you know, the Falcons would have been much better. Well, how good would they have been if they had started Kirk Cousins all season long? Without forgetting that Kirk Cousins did start multiple games prior to the Thursday night game where the Falcons got beat 34-10 and 37-9 at home. Like he was some kind of like panacea. You want to run this back? Is that what you want to do? You're going to spend $57.5 million to run this back with him? Well, then, John, who's going to be the quarterback if Michael Penix can't go? That's a fair question. This is why, you know, the Falcons could get away with saying, well, you know, if we don't bring Kirk Cousins back at $57.5 million, who are we going to have at quarterback? Because Penix is not ready to go. And we'd have to have, you know, Teddy Bridgewater or... You know, I've got Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or you know, who the hell knows what, right? I mean, so, you know, and we don't want the 2026 season to be a lost cause. Well, yeah, but if you bring Kirk Cousins back $57.5 million, isn't it a lost cause? Because you can't afford to go out. You can get Coleman other guys. You can swap out other guys for guys that you currently have. But if you pay Kirk Cousins that kind of money, you are not in free agency to any real degree, okay? You may be able to rework some contracts and try and get a guy here and there, but the upgrade is probably scratch to minimal, okay? So you're going to get a lot of more of the same. And a lot of the more of the same coached by this same coaching staff. Let me ask a broad question here, and we'll get back to your calls. Were this a better coaching staff? You watched this team play at times this year. You know, setting aside the three blowout losses, the Panthers, and I know you can't set them aside, I understand that, the Dolphins, and of course the Seahawks, they've blown five other games. Two overtimes, missed a kick here. They've blown five other games. They went two of those other games. Guess what? They're in first place. Two. So a better coaching staff, again, we go back to You've had Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, the quarterback. Oh, this was going to be the quarterback room, you know, that is going to change the Falcons from Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash Dez to give you one of the best quarterback rooms in the NFL with all these other weapons around it. I bought into, look, I bought in. I take your finger, crook it, stick it in the corner of your mouth. Yeah, I got hooked like a bass over there in a dam at Lake Alatuna, okay? I mean, and what are they? Repeat after me, Clay. They're 13-18 in 31 games, and they have been eliminated in the second year with more than a month to go. That the result you were looking for? That's what you want to run back? Forget everything else. That's what you want to run back? Okay. 404-726-0929. We go to Mark the PI. And again, if you're hanging on, stay right there. I promise we'll get to you. We got plenty of time today. I know sometimes the wait can be, oh, gosh. But just be patient. Hey, Mark.
Hey, John. How you doing, sir? Wanted to ask a question on your thoughts on my Buckeyes. I watched them in the Indiana game, and I've never seen the offense be so inept. And with Coach Hartline taking that job in Florida, I was wondering if he was even there making the calls. And I'm reading that he's probably going to be there for a playoff run. What was what's your take on what they look like against Indiana? What do you think we can do moving forward?
I think you're going to be fine. I think my take about what happened in Indiana is that Ohio State fans are finally realizing what I've been trying to tell other fans, that Indiana's a bloody damn good football team. They may be the best team in the nation. And you just ran up against them. They're that good. Everybody talks about Mendoza winning the Heisman. They don't realize Indiana's defense, you found out firsthand. Ask Oregon how good that defense is. They're just a damn good football team. That's all, Mark. They're really hard to beat.
Yeah, I just, I mean, we didn't, I mean, our schedule wasn't that great. I mean, I think we had some soft teams, and I think that's why we were able to put up, you know, the numbers we did. But like I said, I just, watching that game, I was just blown away because our offense, now granted, like I said, Indiana's defense was unbelievable, but man, we were just so stagnant.
But that wasn't that wasn't a one-off, okay? wasn't a one-off for Indiana. That defense has been that all year. They got a number of NFL players. Yeah. D'Angelo Pons is a first-round pick. D'Angelo Pons, their safety is as good, almost as good, probably as good. He's Caleb Downs good. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, Fisher and Jones are linebackers, and Michael Kamara. I mean, they've got great players. It's a damn good defense. And so that's what you ran up against. But do I think Ohio State's going to be fine? Sure, I expect Ohio State will be fine. I'm really interested in this, though, Mark. The SEC's been squawking all year, right, about how great they are. I've been trying to tell SEC fans, look, at the moment, you don't have scoreboard. The Big Ten has scoreboard. They've won the last two natties with different teams. They also dominated you in the postseason last year in the bowls and the playoffs. So at the moment, they have bragging rights, not you, but you want to squawk. Okay. Do you think that the onus falls, because the SEC wants you to believe that it is clearly the best league in America. Do you find it interesting, the battle between these two? Because it's really the power two and the other two, right? I mean, so the two big powerhouse, do you find that kind of an interesting battle within the battle where you suddenly have, they always said Ohio State would never root for, you know, I know you'll never root for Michigan, but Ohio State would never root for Indiana because they don't care about teams in our conference. But I'm getting to the point where I think SEC fans are starting to think, well, we got to root for our own conference to win. Like if Alabama, Georgia fans are going to look at Alabama or Oklahoma when they play Indiana and say, we need the SEC to win this game because if Indiana wins it, then, you know, the league's going to take a hit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I've got a bunch of buddies I used to police with, and they're always going back and forth with me about how SEC is better than the Big Ten, and our schedule was weak, and we didn't play anybody, blah, blah, blah. And I said basically the same thing you did. I said, well, just look at the national championships. I said the Buckeyes have won 8 over the years. I said, I think Georgia's got 3 or 4. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I was hoping that Coach Hartline, because I think when Coach Day steps down, he's going to be our next head coach, I believe. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it's going to be an interesting bowl season and how things play out. But I really appreciate you taking my call, sir. I listen to you regularly. And, you know, sitting out here on surveillance, I get a lot of good information from you when you're out here.
You got to give me the surveillance stories. You got to give me one that you can tell. Come on.
I'm currently working a liability case on a woman who's got a back injury and a shoulder injury. She tells the insurance company she cannot drive, and I followed her to church this morning as she drove her pickup truck. So I'm sitting in a church parking lot, Stone Mountain, waiting for her to come up.
You get snatched. You're caught on camera.
I got her. I mean, it's like the third time I've worked her, you know, but she claims she's got to have transportation to and from medical appointments. And here she is driving 45 minutes from Stockbridge to Stone Mountain to go to church.
Okay.
Okay. So it's going to be interesting to see how this. I've actually been in court more in the last couple of years because this workers' comp and liability fraud has gotten really crazy. I mean, I work 7 days a week pretty much. So, yeah, but I just sit here following people around with my camera.
Yeah, just be safe out there. You don't snatch up somebody who wants to take it out on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Our company policy is we're not allowed to have contact with anybody, so I just sit behind these tinted windows and just follow folks around. If they try to confront me, I just, you know, drive off. But, I enjoy it. I mean, I spent 25 years West Palm Beach Police, and then I became a PI. So everybody asked me why, you know, what do I enjoy about not being a policeman anymore? And I just tell everybody, everybody waves at me now using all their fingers.
Thanks, Mark. Do appreciate it.
John, you have a good one, sir. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, she's sitting in church right now, not knowing that she's been had. That's great. Let's go to Donovan. He's on with John. Hey, Donovan, welcome to the show.
Hey, John.
What you got, Donovan?
So we need a quarterback for next year. How about we try to trade for Shedeur Sanders? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think the Browns are going to let him go. Let's start with that.
Well, the Browns are going to draft a quarterback. I mean, that's just what they do.
Well, and, I mean, it's I what mean, they do they, if the quarterback is there. I mean, I don't know that for a fact. I think they've got so many, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't give Shedeur a chance at this point. Remember, they're still stuck with Deshaun Watson. So, you know, I mean, you want to really add another quarterback here. It's more likely that Joe, you know, once Joe Flacco moved, I mean, they tried to clear the quarterback room a little bit. They still have Dylan Gabriel, too. So, I don't know. I mean, I see people saying that, you know, Fernando Mendoza may go to the Browns.
I just don't want us to go out there and get another proven loser. You know, we just did that at coach.
I agree. But what do you do let's play the game, Donovan. Cleveland offers you Shedeur. You make the trade. You agree to it. Now you have Shedeur Sanders, and now you have Michael Penix. And when Penix gets healthy, what are you doing?
Open quarterback competition. Period. I mean, Penix, I don't think Penix is going to have a very long career. He's too injury prone.
Yeah, everybody says that, but, you know, it's the first time he's been injured in 5 years.
I mean, yes, that's true, too.
I mean, everybody says this. He's injury prone. He hasn't been injured in 5 years, and suddenly, you know, and the reason he was injured before was because he was a running – because Tom Allen at Indiana, the former coach, and Kalen DeBoer, who was his offensive coordinator at Indiana, disagreed with Tom Allen, the former coach at Indiana, because Michael Penix was used like Michael Vick, and he was running all over the field getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
And Kalen DeBoer said, no, that's not the way to use Michael Penix. So Kalen DeBoer gets the head coaching job at UW and takes Penix with him and says, I'm going to turn you into a pocket quarterback to protect you. Now, he gets injured, right? Every he gets injured. Caleb McGarry, right, Elijah Wilkinson, his blind side is not being protected. Is that a he fault, or is it a scheme fault that they're not rolling him to protect him a little bit more, or is it a GM fault for not filling in that role for McGarry, or is it just bad luck? I don't know, but I think this thing about constant injury, my concern isn't constant injury. With him, Donovan, my concern is the extent of the injury. That's my concern.
Right.
Didn't we sign a guy to a $100 million contract who was coming off a torn Achilles?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, we did. I don't have anything against Penix. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, he was recruited to Tennessee. I'm a Vols fan, by the way. He was recruited to Tennessee. You know, he was going to come there. But I don't have anything against Penix. I guess I just think he's being used the wrong way, or, you know, something's not happening
bingo,
right.
Bingo, that's the problem. I totally agree he's being used the wrong way. I totally agree. I think that's it. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, quick break. More of your calls here. Are you aware, or not aware, are you concerned at all about a false positive at the end of the year where the Falcons go on a win streak and use this, you know, games that don't matter, and everybody sits around a flowery branch going, look, we won four in a row. Hey, listen, we're good. Let's just run it back on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Maurice. Yeah, this song. When I was in eighth grade, this was the song. It was Steve Miller's first huge gigantic hit. This was December, this month, of 1973. So 52 years ago, right about now, this was a hit. Probably number one. God, I'm getting old. Welcome back to 90 Time the Game on this Sunday. John Fricke with you. And a passionate conversation about whether or not the Falcons are going to run this back, because it's going to be a false positive at the end of the year that's going to lead everybody to believe, as we have had over the last few seasons. Remember, let's not forget that we had Arthur Smith go 7-10 and 7-10 and 7-10, and all those 7-10s where I think it's understated that Terry Fontenot did a really good job of patchworking, you know, all these old guys with one foot still in the league, one foot out, and getting them on one-year deals to play well enough to keep the Falcons, you know, especially with the quarterbacks that Arthur Smith had to work with, you know, Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash Dez and Taylor Heineke and the end of Matt Ryan's career, that he was able to patchwork this together, that they were relevant. Arthur Smith made those teams relevant and still alive. I know the division sucks now, but the division sucked. They were still playing meaningful games after Christmas and into the first week in January. Raheem has a far better team with far more talent that was eliminated in early December. Correct? Yes or no? The answer to that is yes. Yes, John, that's correct. But you want to run this back? You want to pay Kirk Cousins $57.5 million in cap to bring him back? $57.5 million in cap? Which will hamstring, because you're going to tag Kyle Pitts, right? We all know this, correct? So $57.5 million cap hit for bringing Kirk Cousins back. Now, if you let him go post June 1, that goes down considerably, maybe about $25 million or so. I mean, you still got a huge cap, but at least you have like $25 million in cap space to be able to go out and play in free agency to get something else. But then who plays quarterback, right? Because and only they know in Flowery Branch, and they're not telling us, it isn't injury prone. It's the extent of, well, it's two things. It's the extent of Michael Penix's injury. And by the way, if he is healthy enough to go, who's actually coaching him up? Because he has, as I went into this, I got so much. People got so angry at me for questioning the coaching of Michael Penix, saying, I said, look, it's ultimately the player's, you know, own responsibility, which it is, but he's not getting the coaching that he needs. I mean, they're not scheming to him. Remember, the knock on him is he's afraid to throw over the middle. Well, watch, he doesn't throw over the middle, and look what happens when you throw over the middle to Kyle Pitts when he's in, you know, mismatches. Well, you saw that this way. They threw over the middle to him, what, four or five times? He was a monster and a terror, and everybody in the NFL is going, throw over the middle to that guy, okay? That's what that's what you're saying. He's a nightmare of a mismatch. And that's why everybody's like, go to that guy. What have you been doing for 5 years? So, anyway, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. I promise you'll get on. You could talk Braves. You could talk college football. You could talk Hawks. Trey Young's returning to practice, but we are talking about the Falcons and a possible false positive that may affect how they handle the offseason. Tony is with us. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Hey, I got a different perspective on it, John. I honestly think that we should keep Raheem. I think Raheem's biggest problem was he brought on two coordinators that had never been coordinators before. Now, he corrected the defensive side with Olbrich. I think you need to go out and get an experienced offensive coordinator to work with Penix. Now, as far as bringing Kurt back, no, we don't need to bring Kurt back unless we cut him and he come back at a lower price. That's the only way I can see we can feasibly bring Kurt back. That's the only way I can see how that will work. But I think the biggest problem, John, is that everybody's talking about the front office, but the front office is Rich McKay. Think about it. Terry has done a pretty good job, but has Terry got a chance to pick either coach? No,
well,
he hasn't.
Know. Well, now you can't say no. Now, hang on. You can't say no. Yeah, we don't. I mean, he didn't hire Arthur Smith. That's true. But we don't know, and you don't know, I don't know, what input he had on the ultimate decision on Raheem. We don't know that.
Right. But I think Rich McKay still has his hands in there. Now, I can't prove that or anything like that. But I think if we get a good offensive coordinator that will work with Penix. Now, as far as the stopgap quarterback, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Penix next year. But, you know, hell, why not go and get Flacco like somebody or one of these journeymen that's been out there? But I think the big thing is if we continue to fire coaches and fire coaches and fire coaches, you know, we don't know whoever we bring in next, what they're going to bring to the table. But I think if we get rid of the offensive coordinator, damn sure get rid of the special teams coordinator. And I think we're on to something. I really do, because you stated earlier, we were in some games that we actually should have won. We actually should have won, but we screwed the pooch on those. But I honestly believe that if we just take, you know, get rid of our offensive coordinator, run it back. Because if changing coaches continually do that, it's not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to get us anywhere. We're taking two steps backwards to try to take a step forward. But that's my take on it, John.
Appreciate it, Tony. All right, here's your list of free agent quarterbacks for this year. By the way, reworking Kirk Cousins' deal is probably I'm not going to say it's not going to happen.
I wouldn't rework it, John. I would cut him outright so we're not pushing money down the line.
Well,
and then
I just
see if
think
he want to come back at a lower number.
Yeah. I can't say never, but I tend to agree with if you heard Joe Patrick earlier saying that the animosity between Kirk Cousins and Arthur Blank is real, and Arthur does not cotton to one thing, lying. And Kirk Cousins lied to his face twice.
That's true, but I don't think
right here, roll with me. All right, so here, free agent quarterbacks here. Tell me who you want here, presuming that they don't come back. Daniel Jones, we don't know if he's going to go back to Indy or not, right? Correct?
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers, is he just done? Do you really want Aaron Rodgers?
Nope.
Russell Wilson?
I would go with Russell because Russell knows his place now. Russell knows he's not a starter no more.
Okay. Marcus Mariota?
Hell no.
Zach Wilson?
Nope.
Tyrod Taylor?
I can go with Tyrod, a veteran.
Okay, yeah, great. Good for you, I can't. Kenny Pickett?
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy's good for a couple of games.
Mitchell Trubisky?
No.
Case Keenum, Trey Lance, Josh Johnson, Carson Wentz, Brandon Allen, Malik Wilson, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew. That's your list.
I mean, and you're right. See, the thing is unknown that we don't know how long Penix is going to be out for.
Yeah, I know we don't. And then that's fair. We don't have any idea.
And I don't think we should bring a younger quarterback in, you know, because, you know, guys talking about bringing Shador and things of that nature. Come on, man. That's not going to happen.
The Browns aren't letting Shador go.
You're creating a problem.
I mean, the Browns are
exactly.
They're not letting Shador go.
And you'll be creating a bigger problem than something like that anyway.
I mean, the Browns have had 85,000 quarterbacks. I mean, you want to talk about quarterback hell, that's the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, there's a list somewhere of all the quarterbacks that have started games for the Cleveland Browns in the time that the Packers have started three, you know, Favre, Rodgers, and now Jordan Love. And it's like literally 30 quarterbacks long. It's like unbelievable. Do appreciate it, Tony. Let's go to Tomahawken, 404-726-0929. Thank you, Tony, for the call. Tomahawken, what is shaking?
First of all, sorry about the loss of your father. I had no idea until you mentioned on Deuce and Bell.
You know, I appreciate that. Thank you for the thoughts. All I can tell you is, die peacefully. He was 90, dude, if I make it to 90, if you make it to 90, God love us.
Me too. Yeah, I know. Second thing is, man, I swear, if they bring this garbage band, the Blues Brothers band back together with Raw, Zach, and Scary Terry, fans will check out for real.
Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about the false
positive? Yes, no. It's gonna be, we're going to be like the Dolphins post Dan Marino. We're like post Matt Ryan because we're going to be sucking quarterbacks and regimes. And hold on, Matt Ryan's haters, go to hell because y'all don't appreciate what Matt Ryan did for this franchise. And I need to go for it mentioned earlier. Do you see college football going to August, like in early August?
I could see, well, I mean, yes, I think that there's a possibility that they could tinker with the schedule a little bit, sure.
I want that. I need to, Georgia.
It's possible that they could, tinker with the schedule. It depends on, again, we have to have, I find it so interesting, Tomahawk, and I've been talking about Super Conference for
I've been talking about years.
Well, let's try 40 years. Yeah. I started talking about it in the mid-80s with a guy named Chuck Ninus, who was the athletic director at Oklahoma, who was trying to form the College Football Association to create a super conference that could be outside the NCAA and negotiate its own television deals, its own roster limits, its own scholarships, everything under the College Football Association with players getting representation. And I bought into that. That was 40 years ago. So I've been an advocate.
It's money now.
Right. And I've been an advocate of that for 40 years. And I'm glad that people are starting to realize that that's the route to go here. We need the Big Ten and the SEC, who have been meeting over the last couple of years, mostly in Nashville, some in Indianapolis. We need the two leagues to lead, and we need those two leagues to merge. And once the Big Ten and the SEC merge and become one, they can then invite other teams to join them in this super conference. And people say, well, that's going to leave a lot of the current members of the Group of Five out. And to which I say, tough noogies. So what?
Sorry. Yes, Notre Dame, tough noogies. Tough-ish.
Yeah, they'll invite Notre Dame, and if Notre Dame joins, that's fine. If Notre Dame doesn't join, they're going to say, well, guess what? You can go play in that Group of Five playoff because you're not going to be in ours.
And I need to say, John Freaky, I know season ticket holder Ashley Schiller, she pays $10,000 for her PSLs, and she's not going to give them up to because she makes money off the seats for concerts, SEC events, et cetera. But, yeah, I need to say, John Freaky, what was the worst season this year, the Braves or the Falcons? And I'll leave it at that. Yeah, love talking to you, man.
Well, I appreciate it. I think the Falcons were worse. I think the Braves. I think the Braves have a legitimate excuse. That their injuries were just devastating.
Yeah, exactly. For the last two years, too.
Yeah, for the last 2 years, but they were just devastated with their whole starting rotation got injured. Every one of them. You saw what Chris Sale looked like. You saw Chris Sale when he came back, finally was healthy, right? I mean, you saw Chris Sale, act like the site. I mean, the last month and a half of the season, he was probably the best pitcher in baseball.
He's a warrior. Right? Chris Sale's a warrior.
And, losing Austin Riley and losing Michael Harris, they lost everybody. I mean, they just got decimated with injuries.
But the Falcons are so poorly coached and no preseason, which everybody on 99 advocated for. They play preseason games and give Mike Penix reps. And it's just, I'm going to get riled up thinking about it.
Appreciate it, Tomahawk. As always, stay in touch. And I know that you're online with me quite a bit, too. My Twitter and my, X, and my Facebook are just my name. I don't hide. I'm here. You can see me. J-O-H-N, John, common spelling. Fricky is F-R-I-C-K. The knee on the end, at John Fricky and John Fricky on Facebook, and you're welcome to jump into the conversation. That way, you're also welcome to the conversation at 404-726-0929. We're talking today about if you want to jump in with the Braves, you want to jump in with the Hawks, college football, as Tomahawk did, you can. I'm certainly here to talk to you about whatever's top of your mind. And top of my mind at the moment, and not the exclusive conversation, is are the Falcons going to have a false positive based on what happened Thursday night and down the stretch that they want to just run this back because they're going to think, wow, we got this now. And I don't think they do. What do you think on Sports Radio 92 on the game?
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.